Morning, church. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn with me to Luke chapter 13. We're going to be going through verses 22 through 35 this morning, ending chapter 13. Next week, we'll be in chapter 14 of the book of Luke. As you guys are turning there, I just want to let you guys know that right now in our church, we have over 100 people in both services on average. We actually have more new people in our church than we have people who have been here longer than a year. And so many of you are part of that, but I just want to say, as you look around the room, and first service was even more full than this, we praise God for that, but we do our best to accommodate what God is doing in our church. And so as you come in, I just want to encourage you guys to do your best to fill in and move a little bit more toward the front so that when new people are coming or people are coming through the doors, they'll be able to find places to sit. Would very much encourage that as we continue to grow. God's doing an awesome work, and it's been incredible to see. If we took a snapshot from the beginning about a year ago to now, the ways that God has shaped and changed and grown our church, it's been really, really great. And so just really excited for that. Please pray that God will continue to move, and pray for the elders and the leaders of the church that we can continue to seek and to save the lost as Jesus did. Before we get into Luke chapter 13, I want to give you guys a little bit of a story. Imagine, if you will, that your grandfather, your great-grandfather, was very close to God, walked with God, lived with God, and not only in right relationship with God, but communed with God, ate meals with God, was together with the Lord, walking with him regularly. He was in God's kingdom. He was living with the Lord, living for the Lord. But in that time, in his foolishness, in his pride, he, instead of honoring God, he wanted to be honored as God. And so your grandfather, wanting to be honored as God, instead of worshiping God, wanted to be worshiped as God, rebelled against God. And he went to war against him and led a rebellion against him. And he attacked him. Insurrection, disobedience. And he disowned him. And ultimately, your grandfather fled from God. He fled from God and his kingdom, and he ran away, and he got to the edge of the kingdom of God, and there he found a small, narrow door, and he opened the door, and on the other side of the door was darkness. And the kingdom of God is filled with light, but on the other side of the door, it was clear that this is no longer the kingdom of God, this is no longer the place of the Lord, this is darkness. And so he goes through the door, and he lives his entire life in the darkness, and he has children, and in the darkness, every generation that has come after him has had kids and lived in the dark, on the dark side of the doorway. And so the legend has been passed down to you, generation after generation, that there is somewhere a long, dark tunnel, and at the end of that tunnel is a doorway that is slightly open. It has light coming out of it, shining light into the dark tunnel. And as you are walking along in the woods one day, you see a dark tunnel, and you say, could that be the tunnel of legend, the one with the door at the end, the narrow door back into the kingdom of God? Could that be it? And so you go into the tunnel, and you walk through the darkness, and you see at the end of the tunnel that that door is in fact there, and light is shining out of it. But it's not the only door in the tunnel. In fact, there's a host of doors, hundreds of different doors in that tunnel, each of them leading to a different place, a different way that you could spend your life, offering a different way back to what they claim to have, eternal life. This morning, each one of us finds ourselves in this situation. Each one of us is staring at that doorway. And we have a decision to make. Which door will you choose? Which fate will you endure? Which world will you enter into? How will you spend the rest of your life? Will you spend it opening up doors that are still dark, or will you go through the one door that is filled with light? Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 35. Let's read. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' And then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you that you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Just as our church has a door, just as your car has a door, just as your home has a door, so the house of God has a door. That house has a door, the kingdom of God, the home of God has a door. And Jesus says that God dwells on one side of the door, and that we dwell on the other. Life on one side, death on the other. Holiness on one side, unholiness on the other. And that door is a door of separation, of division, of demarcation between us and God, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. He says that it's a narrow door. It's a small door. Jesus says that it's a door that very few find and even fewer pass through. And to make matters worse, that door is closing. He says there's a day coming when that door will not be open anymore. There's three things I want us to recognize about the door. The first is that the door is narrow. It is not a big door. It is narrow. The second is that the door is closing. And third is that the door can only be found through Jesus Christ. We'll take a look at the first one, the fact that the door is narrow. We see this in verses 22 through 24. We hear this morning one of the most difficult things that Jesus has ever said. Jesus said a lot of difficult things, and oftentimes they weren't difficult to understand. What they were was difficult to respond to and receive well. Jesus says hard stuff all the time. This is one of the hardest, because here we have people that they would claim to be children of God. They would claim to be Israelites. They were extraordinarily religious. Everybody in that culture was extremely religious. In fact, I believe that that is probably the most religious generation in the history of the world, the generation that Jesus is speaking with. And here's what he says. He's telling these people, these religious people, that more people are going to hell here than are going to heaven. More people are going to hell than are going to heaven. In fact, he's asked that question, right? He's teaching, he's preaching, he's asked the question, will those who are saved be few? And what does he say? He doesn't say yes. What he says is, what about you? Strive to enter the narrow door. He's talking to scribes and Pharisees, extremely pious people, and he says, will you be saved? What he tells them is that most of them will not make it to heaven. Most of the people that claim to be children of God, the people of God, aren't actually going to make it. Wow. That's why he says in verse 24, strive. Strive. In the Greek, it's agonizomai. That's the word that's used. We get the word agony from it. It's a striving. It is a work, an effort where you do some deep, intentional soul searching. That's what it requires to enter through the door. It will be hard. It will require you to count the cost. So this morning, we have the same question presented to us. Every person in this room, on some level or another, believes themselves to be religious somehow. That's why we're here in church. The question I have for you is, have you entered into the door, the only door that matters? Because I'm not ignorant enough to believe that when we get this many people in a room together, that everybody's a Christian. In fact, many scholars, many pastors would tell you that up to 45% of their congregation is not saved. I guarantee you that there are people who have not entered through the door this morning. And I want each of us to look internally, not look at your neighbor, not look at someone else, but look at yourself and ask the question, have I entered through the door? Because everything rides on the answer to that question. Eternal life? Or eternal hell? Have I entered through the door? It will be hard. It will require soul searching. It will require you to count the cost. There's a lot of doors that you can go through in your life. A lot of places you can spend your time and your effort, but there is no other door that will get you to heaven than the door by which you must go through the narrow door. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some of you are here and you're like, man, that's what I really hate about Christianity. It's so narrow-minded. It's so closed off. It's so exclusive. Church, we are as exclusive as Jesus is. We are as narrow as Jesus is. But before we start thinking and being hypocritical about our complaints about God, let me just say none of us would do the same. For those who have offended us, none of our enemies, people who have harmed us or abused us or abandoned us or betrayed us or attacked us or hurt us, right? Each one of us may have people like that in our lives. Tonight, you will not leave the front door of your house open for them. You won't leave a light on inviting them to come. You won't welcome them into your home. You won't bless them and sit down for a meal with them, a feast with them, and allow them into your life. You won't turn your back on them because you're afraid, right? They're going to stab you in the back. We don't do that. But God does. Yes, the door is exclusive. There's no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. But it is also inclusive in that anybody can come. The command is for anybody who hears of this can come into the door. Anybody who finds the door can walk through. It is not exclusive in that way. God is better than all of us. He has given us something that we would never give to anyone. He's given mercy to his enemies, forgiveness and grace to those who have sinned against him. God owes us nothing. But even so, he still opened the door. There's a lot of different things that we could think about when we're thinking about other doors that we can walk through in our life. There's obviously other religions that are doors, right? We've got Islam, we've got Judaism, we've got Hinduism, but there's also political ways that we can do this. We can fight for the social justice movement, we can fight for homosexual rights, we can fight for things that can spend our lives and take up our lives, consume our lives all the while never walking through the correct door. There's even good things, right? Things that many of us would want to give our lives for, like fighting against abortion. There's good things that we want to give our lives for, like taking care of the homeless and the poor and the needy, and we give our lives to those. There's good things like that, but that doesn't mean that you've entered through the door. We can spend all of our lives in doors that are still in darkness. We can spend all of our lives in doors that may even be good, but fail to enter into the only door that matters. There's a lot of different doors outside of Christianity, and I want to warn you about this because there's also doors inside Christianity that are not the door to life. Let me explain. Attending church is not good enough. Being born in a Christian family is not good enough. Walking an aisle is not good enough. Coming to Jesus to fix your life is not good enough. Using Jesus as a tool to get what you really want is not good enough. Those are all doors that don't lead to eternal life. Many of us ask the question, well, what's on the other side of the door? The kingdom of God is on the other side of the door. Salvation is on the other side of the door. Eternal life is on the other side of the door. You see, doorways separate things. I was lonely this week. My wife is in Denver with all of our children. And so for the last 3 days, I have been super lonely and a little bit depressed. Truth. So I'm sitting in my house, and I have like 2 lights on because I don't like to waste light. And it's a big house, and I'm all alone, and it's pretty dark. All the curtains are drawn because I can't be bothered. I'm just this shut-in without my family. Well, I walked outside of my house yesterday. After it was like, I don't know, 2 p.m. as I was working on sermons and other things. I walked outside of my house 2 p.m. It was dark in my house, and I was kind of depressed, and I walked outside, and it was light. And everything was different. The wind was blowing, and it was a beautiful day, and I realized all the time I'd been spending inside, it was a waste of my time because I could be out and enjoying and experiencing things. Inside, I'm depressed. Outside, you see the beauty of what God is doing. Right outside our front doors, we have a little bit of an orchard. We have 6 fruit trees. And so I went over and grabbed a peach and took a bite out of the peach, and it was wonderful. It's wonderful because when we have a door, I'm thinking about the door to my house and the difference between the darkness in my home versus the light outside and the joy that's found outside versus the darkness that's inside. When we have a door, it separates things. And when you go through them, you're not in the same place that you were before. It's different. You're different. You behave different. You enter into a whole new environment. And oftentimes, it's different behavior and mannerisms, different rules, different things that you do or different ways that you live. Think about being at a park and you're throwing a frisbee or you're shouting to a friend in a park. Well, when you get into the car, you open the door and you walk through or get into the car, get into that door, and you close the door behind you. You're not throwing a frisbee in the car anymore. You're not shouting to your friend in the car anymore. Because there's a different set of rules. There's a different set of mannerisms that go. The lines are marked by a door, a set of demarcation, different behavior. Things are done differently when you go through the door because you're in a different place. You must choose to take that step, church. If you're here and you've never walked through the door, if you're like, man, I came to Jesus to get what I wanted, I didn't really want God. I just wanted him to fix my life. Or I came to Jesus because I wanted hell insurance. I came to Jesus so that I wouldn't burn. But you didn't actually come to Jesus because you loved Jesus. Let me just say, that's not walking through the door. You must choose to take the step by which you choose to leave the world behind, leave the kingdom of darkness behind, and enter into the kingdom of life. Jesus did not come for us to have a life here on earth that is magnificent. He didn't come to bless this life. He came to bless the life to come. And so when we walk through the door, we're no longer living for our life here. We're living for our life there. There's a huge difference. Jesus isn't here to make us healthy, wealthy, and blessed here. All of those are promises for the next life. And when we walk through the door, we aren't living for this life anymore. The door is narrow. Not many will enter it. But the door is also closing. We see this in verses 25 through 30. I want to reread this section. Verses 25 through 30. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," then he will answer you, "I do not know where you come from." Then you will begin to say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." But he will say, "I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil." In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. I don't think that the people that were stuck outside of the house realized that they were going to be stuck outside of the house. Many of them probably thought that they were with God, and God said, "No, you aren't. You never walked through the door." So I want you to think about this. Every time that you open a door, every time you put your hand on a handle, every time you cross a threshold, I want you to think about the one door that is more important than any other door. It's the narrow door. It's the door of faith. It's the door that separates life from death, hell from heaven, and you have found the door before it was closed. Do not wait to enter, because there is a time coming when the door will no longer be open to you, and I promise you, I guarantee it, on that day, if you are stuck outside when the master closes the door, you will not ever get in. There's no reincarnation. That's a lie. There's no second chance for salvation after death. That's a lie. There's no purgatory. That too is a lie. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed once for man to die, and after that comes judgment. You live, you die, you're judged. That's it. That's the truth. And I'm here. I love you. I care enough about you, church, to tell you the truth. I don't want to be one of those pastors that just says hard things for the sake of saying it. I say hard things because Jesus says hard things. And I don't want to be one of those pastors that just deceives you all the way through and says that you're okay and I'm okay and we're all okay together and everybody's going to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. I want to be careful, because I have a strict judgment on me as a pastor to shepherd the flock of God and to teach the church the truth. Because of that, I say what Jesus said. There's no second chances. And so every one of us here this morning, we see the door. By virtue of being in this room, you see the door. Not everybody even gets to the door. But you're at the door. Let me ask you the question. Are you ready for the door to shut? Are you ready? It's coming every moment. Day by day, that door inches closer to being closed. Are you ready? What side of the door are you on? I don't know when the door is going to close. I don't know when you're going to die. It could be this afternoon. It could be 30 years from now. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. It could be in this moment. It could be 1,000 years from now. But the door will shut. And if you are not ready, you will never get in. Don't live your life as if you're gonna enjoy the things of this world and later you'll deal with God. Later you'll deal with Christianity. Later you'll experience all the things that God wants to give you, but not yet. You're not done sinning. Don't live that life. Don't fall into that trap, because I guarantee you the people that are in the story of Jesus, Jesus' parable, did not expect to get shut out. They didn't expect it. They say things like, Jesus, we knew about you, we had meals with you, and we were familiar with your teaching. How in the world could we die on this side of the door? You see, it took them off guard. They're astonished. They're surprised that they're not on the right side of the door. Surprised that they were locked out. This is the truth for many Christians today, supposed Christians today. People who have spent much of their life being religious, much of their life reading the Bible, understanding God, learning about God, but they never knew God. And that's what Jesus tells them. Jesus tells them, because you knew about me, but you didn't know me. That's the difference. For many of us, it means that we'll rely on other things. Instead of a relationship with Jesus, we'll rely on the fact that our parents were Christian. Or we'll rely on the fact that our family is Christian. Your friends are Christian. Perhaps the school you attend is Christian. Maybe you raised your hand at a youth camp when you were a kid. Maybe you've walked an aisle. Maybe you've read your Bible. And you would stand before Jesus in the end and you would say, I belong to you. And Jesus would say, no, you don't. You never walked through the door. You never walked through the door. Some of you might be here and you say, but Brandon, I don't know if I want to walk through the door, because when I walk through the door, my life is going to get hard. Being a Christian is hard. The greatest thing that will ever happen in your life is for you to become a Christian. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, the way of transgressors is hard. It's not hard. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's hard not to be a Christian. It's hard to claim to be a Christian and try to put one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world and ride the threshold. That's one thing to try to be a Christian. It's a whole nother thing to sow seeds of sin and rebellion against God all the while claiming to be a Christian. It is hard to deal with the world once you're a Christian, but it is not hard to be a Christian. It's the best thing in the world. Becoming a Christian is wonderful. John 7, 37 and 38, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Does that sound hard to you? No, it sounds wonderful. You're thirsty? Come and drink. Not only do you get a drink, but once you've drunk, you have all that you could ever ask for. Not only do you have water, you have living water. And from you will flow fountains of it. You will be a source of water for others. That's a delight. That's a joy. Jesus says, come to me, for my burden is light. Being a Christian is easy. It's living with the world after you're a Christian that's hard. Walking through the door is the greatest thing that you'll ever do. You cannot be on both sides of the door. You cannot straddle the threshold. Because I want you to realize, if you only have one foot in the kingdom of God, all the blessings are all the way in. You're not going to be able to reach things. You're not going to be able to experience the presence of God in its fullness. You're not going to be able to understand what's really in the kingdom of God, because you still got one foot in the world. Imagine if you tried to enter my house and all you ever did was take one foot in. You wouldn't know anything about my house. You might be able to see a little bit, but you wouldn't be able to experience it. You wouldn't be able to be blessed. You wouldn't be able to sit at the table. You wouldn't be able to enjoy the dinner or the things that are in the house, because you're on the threshold. You can't do both. You cannot serve two masters. God says, I am a jealous God. God says that you shall have no other gods. If you are taking God and something else and limping between two opinions, you're never going to experience God. This is the problem I have with people who look at Christianity or grew up in Christianity and says, I know what that's about. I'm not going to be anything close to that. You never really experience God. It's like an ocean where they got their toes wet, maybe, but they never dove in. They never experienced the fullness of God. They never, by faith, dove into the ocean of God's love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. They never experienced his goodness and his majesty. They never experienced in its fullness. They got their toes wet and they said, I know everything there is to know about Christianity because my toes got wet. It's foolish. It's foolish. Church, we only have so much time. The offer stands, but it only stands for so long. The door is closing. Walk through the door. Last thing I want us to see this morning, we find in verses 31 through 35, Jesus goes onto almost a tirade, an explanation, a lament of Jerusalem. And the Pharisees in that very hour, it says, come to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, Jesus, Herod wants to kill you. You need to get out of here. And what does Jesus say? I know. That's why I'm going to Jerusalem. That's why I'm going to Jerusalem. You see, ultimately, God became a man. He lived without sin. And here he is on his way to Jerusalem. He's focused. He's committed. He's determined. He's devoted, resolved to get to Jerusalem. And the religious leaders, they say, Herod wants to kill you. You need to get out of here. And Jesus says, I know. I'm going to Jerusalem for that reason. You see, when our great-grandfather left the kingdom of God and entered or left through the narrow door, that door slammed behind him. But when God sent Jesus Christ, he didn't have to, but he wanted to, he sent Jesus Christ to open the door once again. He sent Jesus Christ to be the path, the way that the door opened again so that it's no longer shut, it's no longer slammed. John 10, 7 through 9, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Church, Jesus is the door. Jesus was going to Jerusalem to open the door that had been slammed shut by our great, 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 great grandfather, Adam, when he rebelled and sinned against God. Christ was going to Jerusalem because he is the new Adam. And he would do the right thing when the original Adam did the wrong thing. That's Jesus. The one that would open the door and shine light into a dark world so that we could once again be reconciled to God. This is a present tense command from Jesus. Don't miss this. Jesus isn't just saying, look at the door. You're here now. You see the door. Everybody sees the door. He's calling every person who hears him to do something, to enter the door. He's saying, don't just hear me, Jews, and go along your day. Don't just hear me and go back to what you were doing before. The command is still true for us today, this morning. He's talking to Jews. We're talking to people in this room. If you are here and you see the door, go through the door. Take action. Do not go along with your day. Do not act as if this is not important. It is extraordinarily important. This present tense command from Jesus is everything. He wants all who hear us to come immediately to him and enter through the narrow door. The gospel is a command, and ultimately whatever happens with that command, whether you obey it or disobey it, will be the determining factor on heaven or hell. You will either leave in obedience from this room or disobedience. saying no to this gospel is the greatest sin under heaven. It's one thing to sin against God. It's another thing when God knows you've sinned against him and sent his own son to bear himself on the cross, to die, to shed his own blood so that his blood could cover your sins. It's another thing after you have sinned to look at God's sacrifice and trample on the blood of Christ. It's far worse. It is the most heinous sin that anyone could ever commit. Trampling on the blood of Jesus that was poured out for you, it's really insulting the greatest sacrifice the world has ever seen, and that will not be taken lightly. It's not enough to come close to the door. It's not enough to admire the door. It's not enough to see others go through that door. It's not enough to believe in the door. You must go through it. But when you walk through it, church, everything changes. Everything changes. You go from death to life. You go from darkness to light. You live an entirely new life. Your sins are washed away. Your identity is changed. You live as if you are children of God. You're living for the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is important, church. If you've walked through the door already, if you're sitting here and you're like, Brandon, I love Jesus. I want to serve Jesus with my life. Everything that I have is his. I give it all for the sake of the kingdom of God. If that's who you are this morning and you're here, let me just say this: these next two verses are extremely important. 2 Corinthians 5:19. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are what? Ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors. God's making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's us. That's our job. Now we have walked through the door. We are in his kingdom. We are children of the Most High God. We are blessed by God. We are serving with God. Our sins have been taken away. Why doesn't God just take us home? Because we have a job to do. There is work to be done. We are ambassadors of Christ. He has given us the ministry, the mission of reconciliation, so that the light that is coming out of that door would shine through us and we can lead other people who are in darkness to the light, and they will walk through the door. There is work to be done for the Christian. We have a job to do. Your job here is not to grow your kingdom. Your job here is to grow the kingdom of God. As we mentioned before, there's a lot of other doors that people could walk through. Matthew says that the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many walk down that path. It's broad because there's really no boundaries. Think of it like a football game with no sidelines. Everybody gets to do whatever they want. They get to go wherever they want. There's no rules. There's no boundaries. That's why it's broad. No matter what heinous sin you commit, I guarantee you, no matter how bad your sin is, no matter what you've done, if you want to keep doing it, I guarantee you, you can find a church in Montrose where you can feel welcomed, that you can feel very comfortable among the members of that church. I guarantee it. A lot of churches out there that says, you can have religion, and you can have this world, and you don't have to choose. You don't have to decide between the two. You can have your cake, you can eat it too, you can have everything that you want. I guarantee you that those ways do not lead to heaven. Those are alternative doors, doors that do not lead to eternal life. They do not reconcile you to God. Church, you will not hear of the narrow door preached from every pulpit. You will not hear the narrow door proclaimed by every pastor. You will not hear the narrow door broadcast on every radio program. You will not hear the narrow door prescribed in every book that you pick up at the Christian bookstore. You will not hear about this door on every Christian television program. It's small, it's narrow, and it's hard to find. Few find it, even fewer still enter. But once you enter, everything changes. It's all different. You're a new creation, you leave different. You begin a new chapter of your life, ambassadors of Christ, and God making his appeal through us. We implore the world, right? On behalf of God, be reconciled. Let me finish with this. The heart of Jesus today is the heart of Jesus as it was in that day. When Jesus told Jews, walk through the door, even now Jesus is telling us, walk through the door. He's on the other side of the door, church. And he knows us. He knows whether we've walked through it or not. So if we've self-deluded ourselves, he knows. He knows on what side of the door that you're on. For some of us, he may be weeping, arms outstretched, calling to you, declaring to you, come through the door, inviting you to run by faith through the door of salvation that he suffered, bled, and died for. That's why he did it. He did it so that he could open the door in the first place, and he's calling, come through the door. The door will not remain open forever. So my question is, what will you do? How will you respond? The decision is yours. But for those of us who have walked through that door already, we live changed. Our purpose is his purpose. Our love is his love. Our passions are his passions. We live for him. Because we are living in a whole new order of things, a new set of realities in mind. We live as children of light when once we were children of darkness. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you that you sent Christ to open the door that we could walk through. Father, you didn't have to do anything, and yet you called on us to be reconciled. You sought us when we were not seeking you. So we pray that you would help anyone who is here within the sound of my voice, whether they're online or whether they're in person, that they would respond in a way of salvation. Father, we pray if there's somebody here who has not walked through the door, as Father, I know that there are. I pray that they would not delay. And I pray that you would be patient with them to not close the door before they walk through it. Father, let today be the day of salvation. For those of us who have already walked through the door, let us live as children of the kingdom, not children of the world. Let us live different. We love you so much, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.